Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Accompaniment. That is the word that the ELCA Missions uses to describe our contemporary mission work. Accompaniment. Not bringing Jesus to a place where Jesus has not already been present. Not telling people the right way to live out their faith, but walking alongside people, accompanying them on a shared journey of faith, a shared journey of mutual care, mutual learning, and mutual support in the gospel. This word, accompaniment, was used a lot at the Synod Assembly that was just completed in Loveland, Colorado. A synod gathering at which we said goodbye to Bishop Jim Gonia, whose work had been in global missions in Madagascar, and we elected a bishop whose current ministry is in global mission work in Jerusalem and the Holy Land. Bishop Jim will complete his 12-year term as bishop on July 31st, and the Reverend Dr. Megan Johnston Ilabuni will begin her first term as our newly elected bishop on August 1st, after she moves her family back to Colorado from Jerusalem. Some of you may remember Pastor Megan Johnston Ilabuni and her husband Gabi from a video that we watched a couple years ago during COVID time. They created a video about their work in the Holy Land, and we used it here in worship for our Mission Sunday once during our time when we didn't have a visitor here. And so Megan and Gabi were ordained in this synod, have served in Fort Collins, Colorado, and are coming back home for Megan to be our bishop. The theme of the assembly was On Our Way Together. When Bishop Jim convened the assembly on Thursday evening, he reminded us that the word synod comes from the Greek words syn, together, and hodos, way. So synod means people who are on the way together. Synod means that we are people called to be church better together. You may have heard me say that a few times, and if you've been to any synod gathering with Bishop Jim, he says it a lot. We are church better together. Our voting members this year were Lee Liming and Chris Erickson, and Lee has agreed to share some of his impressions of assembly and some of the actions that we took together.
Hi, everybody. Our Synod Assembly started on Thursday, shortly after noon, and we went until after 8 p.m. that day, and we did not finish until shortly after noon on Saturday. It was a very busy 3 days. We worked really hard on this one. There were more than 400 Lutherans in Loveland at the Embassy Suites Loveland from over 150 congregations, plus the Rocky Mountain Synod staff and personnel. Also representatives from the five Region 2 synods, and also representatives from the ELCA. So it was a very large gathering of Lutherans in Colorado. As Kristen said, the theme of the conference was On Our Way Together, and you still have it? Nope, okay. This was the logo for the conference, and you'll see that it's a labyrinth. And you might wonder, why a labyrinth if we are on our way together? And it actually is very appropriate, and it was very appropriate for this assembly. The way that we are on is not straight. It was a long and winding and sometimes surprising path. And so I think that this was actually a very good representation of On Our Way Together. Let's see. One thing I want to point out about it, though, is that this thing in the middle, I don't know why it looks a little bit like a six-legged octopus, but it's Jesus. So Jesus is at the center of this path that we are all on our way together on. And it's also the end of the path. The end of the path is in the center of the labyrinth. Which, again, I thought was very appropriate. There was a lot of worship, there was a lot of music, and there was a lot of prayer. We prayed before every ballot. We prayed during worship at least once, sometimes three or four times a day, and between sessions. There were 17 individuals on the first nomination ballot for bishop. This was an open process, so anybody could be elected from the floor, and it ended up with 17 people. There were 12 who did not decline the call and who appeared on our second ballot. 2 days later, after the full five ballots in the ecclesiastical ballot process, there was a candidate panel where eight members who were still in the running all had 4 minutes to tell us why they thought that they might be a good bishop. And then towards the end, all three of the final three candidates had 20 minutes each in three different rooms. All the members of the assembly were separated into three different rooms, and the candidates rotated between the three rooms and had 20 minutes each to answer six prepared questions and answers. So really, they had 4 minutes of their own time to kind of tell us, why they thought. Everything else was prepared and requested by the assembly itself. But after all of that, we did elect the Reverend Dr. Megan Johnston Ailbooney to be our bishop-elect. And personally, I'm delighted. She will be the synod's first female bishop, which is important, I think. And she's going to be awesome. I am very personally looking forward to having her here at our congregation the first time, whenever it may be, because I think you're all going to love her and agree that she was a wonderful choice. In addition to electing the bishop, we also heard about, through many different video presentations and in-person presentations, many of the Rocky Mountain Synod's works, ministries, programs. It was very informational and also very inspiring. Couple of them in particular that I think you will be interested to know about. We celebrated 40 years of Lutheran advocacy ministry in New Mexico and Colorado. And pictures of many people from this congregation were presented up on the screen because all of you are so involved in this important mission. We also, I understand, I don't know, this is my first Synod Assembly, that they do this every Synod Assembly. They also celebrated the anniversaries of ordinations of members of the congregation, and our Pastor Kristen was celebrated for her 25th anniversary of ordination. I was a little surprised and delighted and a little bit scared to see that the highest anniversary was 65. Wow. 25 was not even halfway up there. So two resolutions were passed by the assembly that you might want to know about. One of them was a resolution that all congregations in the Synod, all participants in the Rocky Mountain Synod, push for peace in Israel and Palestine and stand in solidarity of all the people who are affected by the war that is happening in Palestine and Israel. The other was to allow for each recognized outdoor ministry, that is to say camp, in the Synod to have one voting member at the Synod Assembly. So that means Rainbow Trail and Sky Ranch, and I'm not sure if there are others, will each now have one voting member, probably the executive director of the camp. Good thing. We passed a budget for the synod, and that was possibly even more agonizing than electing a bishop. It's not a good time to be passing a budget. There was a lot of debate. There were some proposed amendments that got struck down by the assembly. And ultimately, the budget was passed as proposed by the Synod Council and the Finance Committee. It is a little bit on the edge in that it is it uses some of the reserve funds of the Synod, but labyrinth. It was a winding process, but I think we ended up in a good place. And the most important thing is that we ended up there together. And it was a really interesting experience for me, my first Synod Assembly. It was neat to see so many Lutherans there from different congregations all throughout our very wide and sprawling Synod. And I did not witness any ugly moments. It was all very congenial, even though we were discussing very difficult topics and people had very strong feelings. I was delighted to see that it was all very friendly. So that's my report from our Synod Assembly.
Thank you, Lee. He got all of my talking points, so. In his sermon at the opening worship, Bishop Jim reminded us of the themes that have marked his time as bishop: church better together and church becoming. And he pointed out that these themes have guided the life of the church since its beginning. The story of Philip's encounter with the Ethiopian official is a picture of church becoming, of that movement of the Holy Spirit to do something new and unheard of. This comes before Paul's vision and the call to welcome Gentiles into the community of faith, when the Spirit prompts Philip to climb into a carriage with a stranger, a foreigner. They explore scripture together, and Philip tells the Ethiopian about Jesus, whose life, death, and resurrection has fulfilled the promise of the prophets. When the Ethiopian spies a body of water, or perhaps a trickle of water, since this is the wilderness between Jerusalem and Gaza, outside the carriage, he says, "Is there anything to prevent me from being baptized right now? Look, here is water," as we've been saying each week in Easter season. "Can I be baptized right now?" And the answer is no. Nothing to prevent you. A Gentile, one who as a eunuch was prevented from coming into the temple in the Hebrew tradition, and yet Philip is moved by the Spirit to say, "No, you should be baptized into this community, into this church becoming, this movement of the Spirit in the way of Jesus Christ." That is one of the hallmarks, I think, of our ELCA and our Rocky Mountain Synod, is that sense of inclusion, of welcome of all people. One of the other presenters, people who stood up to talk, was our campus ministry. And young people from the campus ministries in Colorado stood up and spoke, and a number of times it was said that the Lutheran campus ministries are the only LGBT inclusive Christian organizations on campus, at CSU, at UNM, in a number of places. It's an important work that we are doing out there, folks. At his final dinner, Jesus charges his friends to live in love for one another, to be together and to stay together when things get hard. And we did talk a bit about that. It's not an easy time to be a Lutheran Christian. Our numbers are declining and our finances are in a challenging place. And yet we truly believe that we have a message of love that people need to hear. One of our students stood up and said, we need this message on our campuses. And then later an adult stood up and said, "You are not the only generation that is hurting. That there are so many people out there who need to know that they are loved unconditionally by God." Our bishop-elect When she spoke in those 3 minutes, that was when I felt the Holy Spirit move into the space. That woman is a theologian. She is a deeply spiritual person. I was moved by her talking about her awareness of her privilege, having lived in Jerusalem with an American passport. She said, you know, if you come and visit, you have an American passport, you can go anywhere, you can cross all the borders where the Palestinian people cannot go, where they are unable to move in certain parts of that land. And she said, even that my husband and I, her husband is a Palestinian Christian, can pick up and move to Colorado, bring our children to a safe and wealthy place is such a point of privilege. And her owning and recognition of that, I just think, also speaks volumes. The verse that she chose, the image that she chose to speak to us about, is that we are the body of Christ. That we have all been given different gifts and different work to do so that together we can be more than any one of us alone. We depend on one another to do the work of sharing God's love with the world. And together we can accomplish what seems impossible, but is possible with the prompting and power of the Holy Spirit. And so I too look forward to these next at least 6 years with Bishop Megan and to having her visit here with us. And if you have any other questions about our Synod Assembly or what happened, you can talk to me, to Chris, to Lee. We're in a good place. We are in a good group of people on this way together in this synod and this church. Amen. Yeah.